Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Presbyterian Congregation. I'm down at the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is the 12th day of September 2024, or it is the 10th day of Tishrei, 2028. This is the day of the Atonement. We're going to do our last service for this day, taken from the compilation of the Chapter 10 and put together the plan of salvation as to the new and living way, Hebrews 10, 20, and 21. And so we're going to do our next reading, starting on page 10. This will be part 2 then of this track. And this will close out our day of the Atonement. Deuteronomy 31:15. And the Yahweh appeared in the tabernacle of a pillar of a cloud. And the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. Deuteronomy 31:16. And the Yahweh said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go. It's will go a horn after the gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us, because our Yahweh is not among us? Verse 18. And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they have shall have wrought in that they are turned unto other gods. Now therefore write ye this song for you and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouth that this song may be a witness for me, Yahweh, against the children of the Israel. Verse 20. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with the milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them, and provoke me, and break my covenant. Verse 21, And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed, for I know their imagination, which they go about even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. And verse 22, Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. Verse 23, and he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, Be strong and have a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Verse 24. And it came to pass when Moses had made an end of the writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished. Verse 25. That the Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh, saying, Verse 26. Take this book of the law, and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Yahweh, your father, that it may be therefore witness against thee, Verse 27, For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Yahweh. And how much more after my death, verse 28, gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them, verse 29 of Deuteronomy 31. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Yahweh to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. Verse 30, And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of the Israel the words of this song until they were ended. So the Song of Moses and the Lamb is the sanctuary service, complete, fulfilled, and restored. The Leviticus 23, verse 1 through 44. Revelation 14, 1. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Sinai, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Verse 2, And I heard a voice from the heaven, as the voice of the many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps. Verse 3, And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. Verse 4, These are they which were not defiled with women, in other words, the false doctrines of other churches, especially the Catholic Church, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto the Yahweh, and unto the Lamb. Verse 5, And in their mouth is found no guile, but they are without the fault before the throne of the Yahweh. Revelation 15, verse 2, And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with the fire, and them that had gotten a victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of the glass, having the harps of the Yahweh. Verse 3, And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Yahweh, Father Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou art King of saints. For the plan of the salvation, through the new and living way, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, for our salvation is the song of the Moses. Okay, for our salvation is in, is found in the song of the Moses and of the Lamb, and it is only the 144,000 who learn this song and sing it. This is what saves them out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because they have refused to be corrupted with the false teaching of the Trinity doctrine, and who also refuse to take the mark of the beast in their hand or head. See Revelation 13:16-18. For the question was asked, What is the mark of the Yahshua? For the mark of the Yahshua is in this blood of his plan of the salvation, through the New and Living Way, Hebrews 10:19-20, and by making it a key part of our lives daily, that marks us for the salvation because blood, marks us for the salvation, the blood of this blood is the robe of the Yahshua. Let's read this again. For the question was asked, what is the mark of the Yahshua? For the mark of the Yahshua is in this blood of the everlasting covenant of the Hebrews 10:19-20 of the New and Living Way. This is his plan of salvation for his people today, and by the making it a key part of our lives daily, that marks us for the salvation, because the blood, this blood of Yahshua, is the robe of the righteous, of Yahshua's righteousness, and our shield. It shows we have the blood on our hearts, and we are protected from the mark of the beast by the being under or with the blood of the Yahshua, and thus the slaughter angel will pass over us and remove the terrors that have the mark of the beast. Make sure it is what guides your life every day, for the daily is the heartbeat of the sanctuary system of the true worship. It is a separation of the wheat and the tares. Revelation 20:12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before the Yahweh, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of the life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according unto their works. In the great day of the final award, the dead are to be judged out of those things which were written in the books according unto their works. John 2:15-16. And found in the temple those that said that sold oxen and sheep and doves. And let's do that again. John 2:15-16. For the Yahshua found in the temple those that sold the oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of the money sitting, and when he had made a scourge of the small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured on the changers money, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold a dove, take these things hence, and make not my father's house and house of merchandise. Hebrews 9:24. For the Yahshua is not entered into the holy places made with the hand, which are the figures of the true, but into the heaven itself now, for the appearing in the presence of the Yahweh for us. As the Yahshua's ministration was for the consisting of the two great divisions, each occupying a period of the time and having a distinctive place in the heavenly sanctuary, so the typical administration consisted of the two divisions, the daily and the yearly service, and to each a department of the tabernacle was devoted. Well, we're doing the yearly. We're in the going down of the sun on the Day of Atonement. It's got to come to a close in another couple of hours. They say, as the Yahshua, as his ascension appeared in the presence of the Yahweh for the pleading of his blood and the behalf of the penitent believers, so the priests in their daily ministration sprinkled the blood of the animal sacrificed in the holy place in the sinner's behalf. For the blood of the Yahshua, while it was to release the repentant sinner from the condemnation of the law, was not to cancel the sin. It would stand on a record in the sanctuary until the final atonement. So in the type, the blood of the sin offering removed the sin from the penitent, but it rested in the sanctuary until the Day of the Atonement. That's taken from quote from Patriarchs and Prophets 357 and 8, paragraph 3, by the Ellen G. White. Comment, for the sins to remain in the sanctuary until the final atonement is contrary unto the Scriptures. For the Scriptures plainly teach that on the Day of the Atonement, and the atonement comes once a year, it is a 24-hour period of the time, for the sins are blotted out and placed on the scapegoat and are forever removed from the people. Only the new sins are kept on record until the next atonement, if the people come up for that day and have gotten forgiveness of their sins on a daily basis, then their sins are blotted out. And you only get to forgiveness of your sins on a daily basis if you perform the daily at the appointed time. Okay? For the Sister White wrote about the cleansing of the sanctuary at the end of the 2300 days and said, the feast should be observed. We asked the question, why did she not institute the beginning of the observance of them then? Why did the Seventh Day Adventist not keep the feast and the daily? If she knew they were important, supposedly the SDAs were a sanctuary people, yet they never kept them. Why? As the sanctuary system was restored in 1844 with the judgment for the dead and the cleansing of the sanctuary in heaven with the removal of the sins of all the repentant people who had died after the crucifixion and resurrection of the Yahshua, for the Yahshua cleansed the earthly sanctuary at the beginning of his ministry in the 30 A.D. and again at the close in the 33 A.D. Likewise, the sanctuary in heaven was cleansed at the beginning of the judgment for the dead. As the people died, their names came into the review in the sanctuary, and they were judged either saints for salvation, or their names were recorded for the final destruction in the end in the lake of fire. For instance, if someone died before the time of the morning offering, they were judged at the morning hour. If they died after this, but before the 3 p.m. hour, they were judged at the time of the 3 p.m. evening offering. If they were judged righteous, then their sins were sprinkled with the first blood of Yahshua on the horns of the altar in the heaven, waiting for the day of the atonement, at which time they were removed, their names left in the book of the life, waiting for the resurrection of the saints and the end of the probation. The ones whose sins were not sprinkled with the fresh blood of Yahshua at the time of the day when the records were being made, then on the day of the atonement, their sins were not forgiven, but were left on the record book for them to pay the ultimate price and the destruction in the lake of fire. So the reason for the Seventh-day Adventist not putting all the feasts into operation from 1844 to 2003 was because the time of the judgment for the dead was in the progress, and the feasts were not for the people living at that time, for the courts in the heavenly sanctuary was opened in 1844 for the judging of the dead, not the living. For the living were supposed to live their lives in accordance with the scriptures and make themselves holy and free from sin. True, they did the right thing to have their morning and evening worship time to be sure they were always ready should they die at any given time. So when the Yahweh said unto the Moses that the law was given for a perpetual covenant, he meant just that, for the word perpetual means forever. For the time came for the end of the judgment of the dead in the year of the 2003. And once again there was a cleansing of the heavenly sanctuary of all the sins from the time 1844 up to the day of the atonement, September the 26th of 2002, at the beginning of the judgment for the living, which is the beginning of the harvest of the end of the world. The final cleansing of the sanctuary is the close of the probationary time, end of the world. Matthew 25:6. And at the midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." In 2002, this announcement of the coming of the bridegroom was made a few weeks before the Passover of that year. We were to expect Yahshua to appear at that time. For we then knew the time for the judgment for the living was at hand. It was not until the time of the atonement and feast of the tabernacle that the full realization of it all was visible. For the time has now elapsed over 160 years from 1844 for the observance and restoration of the divinely ordained system of the true worship of the Yahshua and the Father Yahweh. For we know that its restoration marks the opening of the judgment for the living, just so there has to be a cleansing of the sanctuary for the closing of the one and the opening of the other. In the last half of the paragraph of Patriarchs and Prophets 358, paragraph 3, in the type, the blood of the sin offering removed the sin from the penitent, but it rested in the sanctuary until the Day of the Atonement. This is correct, just so in the antipical time on the Day of the Atonement, the sins rest in the sanctuary all year until the Day of the Atonement. If we are practicing the daily, then we can come to the Day of the Atonement and have the assurance of our sins being blotted off of the record. Patriarchs and Prophets 358. In the great day of the final award, the dead are to be judged out of those things which were written in the books according unto their works. Revelation 20:12. Then by the virtue of the atoning blood of the Yeshua, the sins of all the truly penitent will be blotted from the books of the heaven. Thus the sanctuary will be freed or cleansed from the record of sin in the type. This great work of the atonement or blotting out of the sin was represented by the services of the Day of the Atonement, the cleansing of the earthly sanctuary, which was accomplished by the removal by the virtue of the blood of the sin offering of the sin by which it had been polluted. As in the final atonement, the sins of the truly penitent are to be blotted from the records of the heaven, no more to be remembered or come into mind. So in the type, they were borne away into the wilderness forever, separated from the congregation. Since Satan is the originator of the sin, the direct instigator of all the sin that caused the death of the Son of the Yahweh, justice demands that Satan shall suffer the final punishment. Yahshua's work for the redemption of men and the purification of the universe from sin will be closed by the removal of sin from the heavenly sanctuary and the placing of these sins upon the Satan who will bear the final penalty. So in the typical service, the yearly round of the ministration closed with the purification of the sanctuary and the confession of the sins on the head of the scapegoat. Okay. So, thus, in the ministration of the tabernacle and of the temple, that afterwards took its place, the people were taught each day the great truth relative unto the Yahshua's death and ministration, and once each year their minds were carried forward to the closing events of the great controversy between the Yahshua and Satan, the final purification of the universe from sin and sinners. Leviticus 23:28-29. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of the atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Yahweh your Father. For whatever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. Great Controversy, 485, paragraph 3. In the typical service, the high priest, having made the atonement for Israel, came forth and blessed the congregation. So Yahshua, at the close of his work, as a mediator, will appear without sin unto salvation. Hebrews 9:28. to bless his waiting people with the eternal life as a priest in the removing the sin from the sanctuary confessed them upon the head of the scapegoat, so the Yeshua will place all these sins upon the Satan, the originator and instigator of the sin. The scapegoat, hearing bearing the sins of the Israel, was sent away into a land not inhabited. Leviticus 16:22. So Satan, bearing the guilt of all the sin which he had caused Yahweh's people to commit, will be for 1,000 years confined to the earth, which will then be desolate without the inhabitant, and he will at last suffer the full penalty of the sin and the fires that shall destroy all the wicked. Thus the great plan of the redemption will reach its accomplishment and the final eradication of sin and the deliverance of all who have been willing to renounce evil. Hebrews 9:8-14. For the Holy Spirit, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, and which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which did only in meats and drinks and divers washing and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of the Reformation, but the Yeshua being come and high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with the hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of the goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, not the most holy, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of the bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of the Yeshua, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto Yahweh, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living Yahweh. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things, sins, are by the law of purge of the blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. First Selected Messages, page 344, by Ellen G. White. Yeshua, our mediator, and the Holy Spirit are constantly interceding in the man's behalf. But the Spirit pleads not for us as does Yeshua, who presents his blood shed from the foundation of the world. The Spirit works upon our hearts, drawing out prayers and penitence, praise and thanksgiving, the gratitude which flows from our lips, is the result of the Spirit striking the chords of the soul and the holy memories, awakening the music of the heart. Again, when it says, shed from the foundation of the world, means the plan of the salvation was set up and the sanctuary put in the place as a result of the sin having entered a heaven first. First Selected Message 344, paragraph 2. For the religious services, the prayers, the praise, the penitent confession of sin, a sin from the true believer, as incense to the heavenly sanctuary, but passing through the corrupt channels of the humanity, they are so defiled unless purified by the blood they can never be of value with the Yahweh. They are set not in the spotless purity, and unless the intercessor, who is at the, which is Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, is at his right hand, presents and purifies all by his righteousness, it is not acceptable unto the Yahweh. All incense from the earthly tabernacle must be moist with the cleansing drops of the blood of Yahshua. He holds before the Father the censer of his own merits, in which there is no taint of the earthly corruption. He gathers into this censer the prayers, the praise, and the confessions of his people, and with these he puts his own spotless righteousness, then perfumed with the merits of the Yahshua's propitiation, the incense comes up before the Yahweh, holy and entirely acceptable. Then the gracious answers are returned. Revelation 8, 1 to 5. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in the heaven about the space of half an hour. Number 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before the Yahweh, and unto them were given seven trumpets. Number 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Verse 4. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before the Yahweh out of the angel's hand. Verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire off the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. This is showing incense made available for the burning on the altar, for the ascending up with the prayers of the saints, just as the Aaron and the priest had to sprinkle the blood on the horns of the altar and the earthly sanctuary, just so the Yahshua sprinkles his blood on the horns of the altar and the heavenly sanctuary, and on the day of the atonement, their sins are blotted out. And the sanctuary is cleansed for another year. This cannot be accomplished if you have not been practicing the daily worship and getting the daily sprinkling of your sins, preparing them for the day of the atonement. For the morning and the evening prayer time is the key to our salvation. Without this, we do not have a plan, a way for our sins to be removed on the day of the atonement. This is Psalms 77:13. Say the only way to the Father is in the sanctuary service. If his throne of the mercy is there, then it is important that we be prepared for the day of the atonement and make sure Yahshua sprinkles our sins with his fresh blood. For as the scripture says, in the Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with the blood, and without the shedding of the blood is no remission. So if the shedding of the blood is the only way for the remission, then how does Yahshua do it without dying again? It says that the wounds in his hands bleed afresh. Patriarchs and Prophets 4:11, paragraph 3. For the smitten rock was a figure of the Yahshua, and through this symbol, the most precious spiritual truths are taught as the life-giving waters flowed from the smitten rock. So from the Yahshua smitten of the Yahweh, the Father, wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, the stream of the salvation flows for a lost race. As the rock had been once smitten, so Yahshua was to be once offered to bear the sin of the many, Hebrews 9:28. Our Savior was not to be sacrificed a second time, and it is only necessary for those who seek the blessings of His grace to ask in the name of the Yahshua, pouring forth their heart's desire in the penitential prayer. Such prayer will bring before the Yahweh the wounds of the Yahshua, and then will flow forth afresh the life-giving blood symbolized by the flowing of the living water for Israel. Okay. Once again, we quote this one important sentence in our First Selected Message 344, paragraph 3. All incense from the earthly tabernacles must be moist with the cleansing drops of the blood of the Yahshua. We have to say then that the prayers along with the incense from our lips, bodies, minds, earthly tabernacles, make us saints. Okay. Okay, now, I want to say something here. I see something that may need to be looked at again in this statement I just read from Selected Messages by Ellen G. White. She says, all incense from the earthly tabernacles so must be moist with the cleansing drop. These earthly tabernacles are the Adventist churches that are all over the world. So wherever you have an Adventist church raised up and you've got members of that church worshiping on the Sabbath, and they are called Seventh-day Adventists, and they believe in the three angels' messages, then they believe in the antiquated day of the Atonement of 1844, by virtue of believing in the three angels' messages. So as they go on to restore the Sabbath and the three angels' messages to all the holy days, to join the Sabbath, and then the fourth and fifth angels join the three angels, then these are the tabernacles of the earth. Those churches that do this, of the Adventists, then they are these tabernacles. It's not the human body, it's a tabernacle. Okay. I know that it says the human bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 7:26-27, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heaven, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he Yahshua did once when he offered up himself. From this scripture we see that the earthly priest had to first offer for their sins and then for the sins of the people. But the Yahshua, being come a priest, was without sin or defilement. He offered himself once for the sins of the people, and now he sprinkles his blood afresh for the sin in the sanctuary above daily, and cleanses it once a year according unto the type given unto the Moses. Hebrews 9:11-12. But Yahshua being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with the hand, this is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Us being those under the old covenant before he died. In the old covenant, the high priest went into the sanctuary and offered up sacrifices for their own sin. Before they could offer sacrifices for the people, they were sinful, just as were the people. For the blood of the bulls and goats pointed forward unto the pure blood of the Yahshua. But the Yahshua, being come to earth to set up the new and living way of the salvation, was tempted in all points like as we are, but he was without sin. He overcame sin and won the victory over sin and death. He was our example, and we are to overcome sin and the world if we are to have eternal salvation. But we can only overcome if we follow the sanctuary system and all the requirements of it. Hebrews 10:19-21. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of the Yahshua, by a new and living way, which is he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of the Yahweh, at the death of the Yahshua, the veil of the temple rent in twain, showing the end of that earthly system of the worship. After all, they no longer had the Ark of the Covenant in their possession, for the only thing in the most holy apartment was a stone from the temple of the Solomon. Hebrews 9:13-22. Okay, it says, for if the blood of the bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of the Yahshua, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto the Yahweh, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living Yahweh? And for this cause he is a mediator of the New Testament. That by the means of the death for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, that is the old covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament will is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without the blood. And almost all things are by the law purged with the blood, and without the shedding of the blood is no remission. We know if someone dies and leaves a will, then that will or testament is effective and can be probated and the contents divided among the family. But while the owner of the will or testament is still alive, the will testament is of no effect. No one can take anything from the property because to do so would be theft. Do you see what I just said? If you say that Yahshua died for you at the crucifixion, you are stealing from him. Well, Paul said that in Romans 5:9-11. He said Yahshua died for him while they were yet sinners. He said that he and those Gentiles that he was ministering to, three and a half years after Yahshua's resurrection is when Paul said this. He said, while we were yet sinners, Yahshua died for us. So now we're going to have to do some correction here when we reconstruct this here track. Do you see what I just said? If you say that Yahshua died for you at the crucifixion, you are a student. But this is true, because we can't say in these last days that Yahshua died while Paul was still living. And Paul was persecuting his people at the time that Yahshua died. But Paul became converted by Yahshua 3.5 years later. And Paul says, well, you know what? To those Gentiles that he was, or those Jews he was talking to, he said, Yahshua died for me while I was yet a sinner. Well, but I guarantee you, if Paul had died before Yahshua died on the cross, and he'd have died in his sins, and he would not be saved. But after the resurrection, and he was converted, and he repented of all those sins and those persecutions before the cross, then Yahshua's death on the cross then stood in escrow for him and those that was like him before his death on the cross. Is this what you want to do? No. No, we don't want to have that on our record. As it was in the old law, just so it is in the new law, they are identical, except the earthly had the animal sacrifice and the heavenly has the sprinkled fresh blood of the Yahshua. A sin is not confessed until after it is committed, for the blood shed of the Calvary covered the sins of the people who had died from Adam up unto them. Well, we may as well give a scripture here. That's in Hebrews 10:14. He says, "For by one offering Yahshua had perfected forever them that are sanctified by his one offering." In Hebrews 10:14, and also that ones who were living then and had made their confession. Let's go back into the law of the Moses again. Here you see the people brought their animal sacrifices after they had committed a sin, not before. If this method were possible, then why did the Yahshua not die and then resurrect before man ever sinned? Would they not have then been covered forever? This is essentially what people are saying when they say Yahshua died for us. It is totally against all the laws of the scriptures, for the law of the Moses does not teach this. The sanctuary system does not teach it. So where did this idea come from? When you are driving the highways, you are not under the condemnation of the law as long as you are obeying them. You don't pay a fine if you have not broken the law, do you? Do you pay for a speeding ticket before you get it? No. Just so, your sins cannot be forgiven before you have committed them. Just so, Yahshua died for the sins past. See Romans 3:25. Whom the Yahshua has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of the sins that are past, through the forbearance of the Yahweh. For the word propitiation in the Webster's Dictionary, to cause to become favorably inclined, win or regain the goodwill of the of appease or conciliate, pacify. So Yahshua has set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in his blood, a belief for us through his blood. We want to win again his goodwill, or peace, etc., to the Father by his covering our sin with his blood that is shed when we sin, and then confess him. This sounds pretty awesome. It should make us stop and do some serious thinking. Do we want to change our thinking and what we have always are we to sit in our thinking to change and gain salvation through the daily shedding of his blood? Let us read Hebrews 10:1-9. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more a conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of the bulls and goats should take away a sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And the burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Yahshua, lo, I come in the volume of the book of the Old Testament. It is written of me to do thy will, O Yahweh. When he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O Yahweh. He taketh away the first that he may establish. Okay. Yahshua took away the first system of the worship with the animal blood so as to establish the new and living ways through the sprinkling of his own blood in the sanctuary on a daily basis. Now for us, the nail prints in his hands bleed afresh for us when we sin, and he sprinkles his blood in the sanctuary in the heaven for the remission of our sins today. You cannot sprinkle dry blood again. It has to be moist. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it unto you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Obviously, then, if the life of the flesh is in the blood, then only fresh blood will serve to cover sin. It says the blood is given unto you upon the altar to make atonement for you, your soul. For the life of all flesh is in the blood, and the blood of it is for the life thereof. Leviticus 17:14. Because blood coagulates in a few minutes, it had to be sprinkled immediately, for the altar was by the door of the sanctuary for this reason. Dry blood cannot be used, and you cannot sprinkle it. When Yahshua died, the veil of the temple rent in twain, showing that need of the earthly sanctuary was finished, for the animal sacrificing was finished. The Lamb, the Son of Yahweh, had just died and shed his precious blood for the sin of the people who lived and died up unto then, and there was no priest at the scene to catch the just shed blood of Yahshua to offer it in the sanctuary. Instead, the service of the earthly had finally come to an end, for the blood of Yahshua had anointed the Most Holy and brought to an end the earthly system, but no one knew what had taken place.